Hey, everybody, welcome to the Transpose Podcast. I am the fabulous and incredible Robin Allura, and today I'm kind of flying solo because the sidekicks all have real jobs, and I don't, and, you know, they put their real jobs and their families, for God forbid, before the show. No, I'm just kidding. I love my sidekicks. I love you all. Today, I have a special guest. We're going to talk a little bit about, well, it's a spotlight on a transition story. We like to not just spotlight creative types. In the trans community, we all have very interesting stories we all like to share. And a lot of times we find that when we share those stories, they help others, and they also help us in a way to feel like we're kind of, I don't know what's the word, pitching in? I don't know. I really don't know. But I want to welcome Faye to the show. Faye, how are you, sweetheart?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing good. Now, Faye has a very interesting transition story. And first off, I'm going to say it's nice to meet another unicorn.
It's always nice to find another one.
It is. If you haven't listened to the show before, I call myself the unicorn within the trans community because I am DID. One of my, and I'm going to use my air quotes, personalities, which we've mentioned on the show. Rob was total dude, and of course I am total chick. So there's more of us than I would have imagined, but we're those crazy unicorns that are the even the trans community goes, now, wait a minute, I heard that was a thing, but I've never met one. And yes. So,
now here's two of them.
There's two of them on one episode. Oh my God. Can you believe it? I know, right? So Faye, why don't we just kind of jump in? And let's hear a little bit about your transition story.
Yeah, so I grew up in, you know, the early 90s, and I don't really have any memories of my life really prior to 14. My life was filled with quite extensive child abuse, and that's why we're DID. Because that's how it happens. You get extreme child abuse prior to, I think it's like 7 or, you know, like some, there's variation, but extreme prolonged child abuse, usually from a guardian. And that was my case. I had a narcissistic mother who basically used me first, tried as a meal ticket to my father, but he split. So she saw me as currency, basically, for some other people in my family who were into not very good things, like producing CP. And we got put into that for about a decade. So pretty much no memories. That is kind of the life of one of our two little ones. And so, you know, high school hits and 9/11 hits. You know, and it was a big moment for everybody. You know, it's pretty, it's like our little Pearl Harbor kind of event.
Right.
And I mean, it really kind of set us on a path. I mean, we were not a good student in high school. Like, we almost got kicked out of high school. because we were so poor with our grades and poor with our performance and everything. And in kind of my junior year, we turned around and we had this really cool program to get into like career things through our school district. Our school district was like really poor, but they had this really awesome program. So we started taking an EMT cert, and basically, like, you know, we think we created a new alter, became a new person, like we completely changed our personality, and we were like acing this EMT thing. And our mother realized that it was kind of like our escape ticket. And so she basically was like, oh, you know, this is later when we have a stepfather. But she's like, oh, you know, we're going to get a divorce. And you need to quit your schooling and everything and become the provider of the family. I don't know, like with a job at McDonald's, I guess. I don't know. Never really thought that one through. But... so we had to quit the EMT program and we kind of lost our opportunity. So once we were nearing the end of high school, you know, we kept getting these, the presentations by the Army recruiters, which should not be in high schools at all, but you know, they go and they promise you that, you know, if you join the military and if you get hurt or, you know, injured, that the VA is always going to be there to take care of you. And, you know, you're always going to be safe. So, you know, family, we didn't have that. So we're like, okay, maybe this is for us. So we tried to join the Air Force. The Air Force immediately says no, because we had taken Ritalin as a child. And so then we tried to go to the Navy. And the Navy recruiter was more interested in eating lunch than talking to a candidate. I guess they didn't need people during the war. So I walked over to the Marines and then got in with them, went to MEPS. And as we were filling out the medical paperwork, I look down and all of a sudden just break out into a cold sweat because I look and I see... like it was like 60 questions on health. And like the last one was like, have you ever been hospitalized? And we had marked yes. And I was like, oh God, like who the fuck did that? Cause I didn't do that. And so the Marines were like, oh no, you've had a suicide attempt. That was our hospitalization. So, you know, you don't qualify. So we're like, you know, well, we've only got one option left. So we went over to the Army and we started to tell the recruiter, we're like, hey, you know, we thought being honest was the right thing to do. We were like, hey, you know, we got booted from the Marines. And he was like, no, just stop. Like, I don't want to hear anything. Like, whatever you have, just lie. Just say you're completely fine. And that's what we did.
Okay, you know, that's, wow, that's, yeah, just lie. The Army, we don't care. Just lie. It's fine. It's great. We don't care. And it's like, oh my God, are you serious? I gotta tell you, I remember in high school, you know, for me, it was being in the back seat, basically, watching everything going on with Rob now. During high school, it was very much I remember the booths for career day, and there's the military, and I remember because by the time the career day came around, Rob was a little heavy. He was getting kind of big, and I remember the different armed forces be like, hey, you think it? No. It's just like the football coaches. No, forget that crap. Now, I want to say, I have a lot of friends who served. I have a brother. My biological brother served. I have a lot of respect. And when I say I know people who've served in every branch. Retired Marines, Navy, Army, Air Force. My best friend is a Navy pilot. Was a Navy pilot. Retired Navy pilot. So I have a lot of respect for people who go in to the service. And going into the service, you know, it's definitely, it can be a very honorable thing. But I kind of have to agree. You don't really necessarily need to be setting up the booths at the high school gyms anymore.
No.
I think that's a very old, outdated thing. I know they still do it, especially in the smaller communities. Mm-hmm. I wanna say something that just the first part of your story there kind of resonated with me. Because I can completely relate to your upbringing.
I'm sorry that you can say that.
I know, right? And yes, most of the time DID can be Now, DID can also be non-trauma created. It's rare, but it does happen. Mine was the same thing. I had a very narcissistic mother who did everything in her power to keep me and my brother down. My brother was actually an EMT for a little while. And he was an EMT in his 20s. I'm trying to remember how old he is now. He's got to be late 30s. But he was convinced by our mother that he needed to quit that job and do something else, which was, number one, didn't make him happy. Mm-hmm. Number two, made him infinitely less money. And just was a dead end. My entire life up to a certain point, I was the same thing in high school when the guidance counselors came around, started talking about what do you want to do after high school? And I had no idea. And I had known a little that I wanted to get into something in the creative fields, things like I do now, photography, the broadcasting, podcasting. Of course, podcasting wasn't a thing back then. You know, I even went as far as stand-up comedy. I wanted to do that. I wanted to be a writer. I wanted to be a stand-up comic. And back when I was in high school, I had a mother who, no, you don't need to do that. You need to just be used to working in a cubicle. And then I started working in retail. And once I got into retail, until I kicked her ass to the curb, that was all she would ever encourage me to do. If I lost a job, because retail, you're golden from about October to March. If you got a job in those months, you're fine. After March, you're probably not going to be on the schedule unless you're really good. That was always the thing. Oh, here's another retail job. Well, here's another retail job. I didn't get out of retail till I was almost 40.
Wow.
You know, and that was all because of a upbringing very similar to yours. Now, I can also relate, and I hate to say that, to being used in a way. Every job I've ever had up until my mother was out of my life, it wasn't about whether I was happy with it or not. It was how could she exploit it, including picking me up on a day off to go use my employee discount to buy a toner cartridge.
Oh my gosh.
Knowing if I leave my hotel room where I was living at the time, I was going to be totally homeless. So I number one, I relate. And sweetheart, I am sorry. I've gone through that. I know that struggle.
Thank you. I'm sorry that you went through that too.
I am too, but at the same time, it's kind of made me a little stronger. I'm a child of the 80s and 90s. I was actually out of high school when 9/11 hit.
Mm-hmm.
So I was working in retail, watching it on TV as it happened. So I know that time in history very well. I remember that history. I didn't personally serve. I've always had a health issue that would have kept me from doing it. Plus this whole, yeah, I see through the bullshit.
Well, I mean, there's absolutely no, like, if I could go back and change everything, I absolutely would have never served. Like, you can have the title, you can have the medals, you can have all of it back. Like, it's not, to me, and, you know, everybody has their own opinion, and this is just my opinion, but it wasn't worth it at all.
Right. And not everybody has a good experience. You know, that's for sure. So, you transition post service. How long ago was it that you started transition?
We knew that we were trans, like, from early childhood. You know, there's one picture of us as a child, and it's of us in a dress, and we were an only child, so. There were no girls in my family, so, like, there's absolutely no reason to have a dress. But we know that we said it, and we know that it was used against us, and we buried it, and it came up, you know, again in the military, but we've been with my wife for almost 20 years now, and so, like, she knows me, and we're talking about it, and she's just like, wow, you know, like, there's so many signs that we missed that you were trans. Okay, so many times she was like, oh, I thought you were gay sometimes with some of the shit that we did. But we came out, well, so I'm Faye. I was out, and I am a narcissist. I'm a narcissistic abuser because of the way that we were brought up. And we were basically completely ruining our marriage. And, like, our wife was about done. And Lizzie kicked me out and came out with everything to my wife. Like, oh, I don't remember our transition. I just know that it happened. But my Lizzie came out, and basically she started with, like, I have this dream that you cheat on me, but with a woman. And then last night she was like, you know, since you're trans and you're DID, like, you basically made it, you basically made that happen. because, you know, we became our true self, and, you know, like, so many times through our marriage, our wife was like, oh, you know, I wish I was born a lesbian. And then we were talking, and she was like, I can't believe I said that to you. Like, I said that to my cis male husband. Like, that's a weird thing to say. Both of us were just screaming to be our true self.
Right. Right. And that's, you know, when it's all said and done, that's what's important, is to be ourselves. Yeah, you know what? I kind of went through something very similar with AJ, with my spouse. And, yeah, you know, we've talked about it on the show. Rob was an asshole. He still is. That's the problem, is he's still an asshole. He just doesn't take the driver's seat anymore. And, you know, I think that's the same thing, is when you are DID and being trans, it's definitely a whole different ball game. I've talked about In an entire episode, I talked about having imposter syndrome, and trying to convey to people, you know, I'm transitioning. I've seen on Twitter a lot this, I want to say mantra, where people say, I always was a girl until I, you know, and now that I transitioned, I feel right. When you're DID, that takes a little different meaning. You know, Rob is a dude. Rob was a dude. He is a dude. He will always be a dude. And I mean that in the worst possible ways. And me, I've always, up until, well, not long ago, 5, 6, maybe 7 years ago, I was simply the chick that lived in his head. You know, that's kind of weird. Having the driver's seat 20 years ago was the plan. And it didn't exactly happen the way we wanted to. Anybody with DID knows about fighting amongst yourselves. And unfortunately, something I have also learned that is very common with individuals with DID is traumatic events essentially cause a war with yourself, and not when you would hope that you could pull together for a traumatic event and kind of, in a way, comfort yourself. That's kind of a strange way of putting it, but that's the best way to explain it. Most of the time, it's the personalities, the alters, however you wish to define them, is they attack each other. And it's this traumatic event is the fault of each other. And I went through that with Rob, which I've talked about. It was not fun. But yeah, I've gone through that. So I understand that. I can understand having a, okay, well, this side feels a little bit this way. So, okay, here's this other side of you that says, hey, no, you're going to go sit in time out for a while. And so, yeah. But being trans and being DID is definitely different. We see it different. And I've gone through the exact same thing, like you said, with your I've done something very similar with AJ. And it's, at the end of the day, it's everybody being happy. That's what makes it work. That's what makes being trans and in a relationship and being DID work, is being happy. And making sure everybody's happy. Everybody. So, yeah.
Yes.
So, let's talk a little bit about your transition. Being a former member of the armed forces, they have access to healthcare options that we don't, that everyday citizens don't. By this, I mean the VA. VA is the Veterans Affairs. Yes, have to remember. So, did you use the VA for your transition?
So, there was a fight amongst ourselves, as you were talking about earlier, back at the end of the Obama administration, when, because we were in during Don't Ask, Don't Tell. So, you know, when we were getting abused, we couldn't say anything because it was based around the perception that we were gay. So, like, we couldn't say anything. So, like, none of our abuse or anything that we suffered in the military was in our records at the time. And so the Obama administration, you know, said that, you know, they were going to remove the last bit of what Don't Ask, Don't... Because when Don't Ask, Don't Tell was repealed, it did nothing for transgender people. Right. We were still illegal. And So the Obama administration was going to remove that fact, or and I think maybe they did. I can't remember. That's more of Lizzie. But with like 73 days into the last guy's presidency, he, you know, basically tweeted that we were, you know, not welcome anymore because we're too expensive, even though the Obama administration did like a whole study with the Rand Corporation of all people. And the Rand Corporation of all people said, no, trans people, like, it's like $6 million a year. And by the way, like, we spend like $63 million a year on Viagra. Like, you know, we don't cost anything.
We're cheaper than the little blue pill.
You got to take the right pill.
You got to take the right blue pill, yes.
So we didn't come out at that time. We remained in the closet, and then Trump's presidency was a disaster, and then Joe Biden took over, and pretty immediately he was like, you know, I'm doing away with the trans ban, and we felt more confident. And we were like, okay, you know what, maybe now's the time. Lizzie came out. So, like, you know, maybe now's the time to come out to the VA. So we had just moved. So I was like backlogged in the appointment system. And I finally get in. I do my intake screening. I set up psychiatry, and like I wanna like feel the therapist out, because it's usually a terrible therapist that the VA gives you, but you know, you still hope, you still hope and pray, right?
Right.
And so we got in, and this was like, I don't even know if COVID was happening or anything, like, or like it was just starting or something. And we went in and we did like three sessions, and we were in tomboy mode. And like he was great. Like we were like, okay, you know. And he had a rainbow like key thing around his neck, like a lanyard. And we're like, you know, we're getting the sense that, you know, maybe he's LGBTQ, maybe he is an ally, you know. So like on the third or fourth session, we're like, okay, you know, this is it. We're going to come out. And it was video at the time. So, like, we typed in, you know, for our name, Lizzie. And he never showed up to the appointment. And we're like, oh, okay. So we were like, okay, let's change tactics. We found that there's an LGBT like coordinator and social worker. So we called them. We're like, hey, we're trans. Like, and like, what can you do for us? And she was great. She's like, okay, we got this group. We got the prosthetics department. We need to do is get you an intake screening with an LGBTQ plus intake provider. So we're like, okay. And they give us the name, and it's the same provider. And we're like, can we get a different provider? And she says, no, he's like the official gatekeeper for the entire program. We're like, okay, maybe he won't remember us, because it had been a couple months at this point. You know, maybe he won't remember us, you know, like one face in thousands. Right. And so we go to the appointment, and like we have severe anxiety with medical providers. Like we've like canceled dozens upon dozens appointments for like panic attacks and everything. And we got it. We were there, and we were okay. And within 6 minutes, we left the appointment crying. And we don't cry, but I wrote this big long piece basically, because going like through everything he said. He only said like three or four things to us, but when we were seeing him originally, he didn't believe that we were DID. He's like, no, you know, it's just trauma. You don't actually have DID. And at the time, we were back into stealth DID, whoever that, I don't even know. But they were like, oh, yeah, totally. We're not DID. And we're not schizo either, because we have schizophrenia as well. We're like, oh, we're pretty solid mentally.
Yes.
And he was like, oh, yeah, you know, I don't believe it. And our psychiatrist didn't believe it. Our intake specialist didn't believe it. So when we went to see him, he was like, I can't provide you any transition care because you're DID, and I don't know if all of you are trans, and if you're really trans, why are you just now coming out? And we were just like, what? he basically, like, he was like, oh, well, tell me what endocrinologist you want to see. And like, what do you mean? Like, what endo, like, he's like, who, well, which one do you want to see? Like, there's no list of who works at the VA. There's no, like he's basically implying that we're doing all this research into, like, being trans, and, like, we're shopping around for like, medical care and everything. And so, like, we leave the appointment crying, and we contact the social worker, and she doesn't get back to us for, like, 2 weeks. And then she's like, oh, blah, blah, blah. So we, like, we do the inspector general's office and everything, contact ACLU, like, we contact, like, everybody. And everybody just, you know, says, like, go kick rocks. We don't really care. The IG actually got back to us, and they said, well, you're not the person who was, we claim, assaulted. You're not the person that was assaulted. So, you know, like, don't contact us again. Like, we're done. And, I mean, that like the trans group that we were supposed to be a part of, this was October. We've gone to one meeting because they never contact us. Like, it's just a really bad experience.
I can understand that, and I think that your experience highlights a huge problem that a lot of trans individuals have. And even my therapist that I talk to has mentioned this to me. And it's just because someone is LGBTQ, either ally, friendly, or even a member of it, that doesn't mean they are qualified to talk about transgender issues.
Mm-hmm.
excuse me. My therapist that's her, all of her degrees, all of her studies are in gender studies, as she calls, or as it's known in the, I guess, medical fields, is gender disorders, gender identity disorders, things like that, which, let's all be honest, it's not a disorder.
No.
But, you know, she's been very good. And I think things like that, like what you experienced, really do hurt us. Mm-hmm. I think they really keep us from, because, I mean, just hearing that story, I was disheartened. I didn't even go through that, and I was heartbroken, because there is a lot of that. And mm-hmm. we do get a lot of people who go, well, if you were trans, as you said, why didn't you come out sooner? Well, here's the thing. It's one thing to be gay in America. That's not as bad Mm-mm. anymore. It's another thing to be trans mm-hmm. in America.
Especially a trans woman.
Especially, I mean, a trans woman, yes.
You know, there's definitely hatred against trans men, like no doubt. But the way that the two our two categories are viewed, and just like the misogyny, you know, it's just like every trans woman is a predator, according to anyone that, you know, doesn't agree with our existence.
Right.
And I mean, that's some pretty heavy stuff, especially because like so many of us are victims.
Right.
And
it's there's a lot of gatekeeping.
Mm-hmm.
There really is. I'm not gonna lie about it, sugarcoat it, or anything. There is a serious amount of gatekeeping. I count myself extremely lucky. I have some of the best doctors, in my opinion, in the world. I have a therapist who has helped me with the being trans, being DID, who understands all that, who also helps me with things like anxiety and has been there mm-hmm. through every step. I have a primary care doctor who is equally as awesome and helps find, if I have a problem, we gonna find the solution. And he has helped me through this transition. Here in the state of Texas, there is a law on the books, and this is the stupidest piece of shit ever. But when I came out to my doctor, my primary care, I flat out told him, look, I know about this law, and in the state of Texas, if you come out to a doctor or pharmacist as any member of the LGBTQ, they have the legal rights to drop you as a client and not provide medical care. Now,
thank God.
I'm a very upfront person. I am annoying pride girl. I have trans bracelets. I have mm-hmm. trans. I have LGBTQ. I've got rainbow shoes. I've got a bi pride water bottle. Hell, I have decals that are going to go on my car. And I don't just mean the little ones that go in the back of the. No, I have a 13-inch heart vinyl decal that is the trans flag. That's going to go on
very
the
nice.
Fucking hood of my car. And so I am that annoying pride girl. And when I came out to my doctor, I said, look, I know the law. This is the law. I know. I'm telling you this is. And he stopped me and he went, that law is just so total bullshit. You are not going to be denied any sort of care while you're my patient. And
wow.
He's helped me. He's worked with my endocrinologist, who is very, very versed in both issues I have, because I'm also a type 1 diabetic. Mm-hmm. And transitioning can be dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
And my endocrinologist made sure all the numbers were right. And as soon as all the numbers were right, I asked for things like, do I need to do this? He goes, you got this under control. But he didn't just, oh, sure, you're trans? Here, have pills, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Which I think we do run into a little bit of that too. But there is mm-hmm. gatekeeping. And I feel mm-hmm. like, based on other people's experiences, especially with the V8, not just for being trans, there's a lot of that. Even just talking to friends of mine who are retired service or former service, the VA doesn't get in a hurry to do anything.
Mm-mm.
And the VA seems to be, it's really, I don't want to say important, but it seems like the VA's biggest thing is to make sure you're kind of, you're not their problem.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's a broken system, especially because I will say this, COVID has done one really good thing. And it has given a lot of people who are trans the courage to come out. Why? Mm-hmm. We can do so in a safe space. Our mm-hmm. own homes. Does it always end well? No. But it does. We are safer. And we do get to come out. Mm-hmm. And I think that's becoming a new problem is things like the VA and other government agencies, they don't have an idea how to deal with us.
Mm-mm.
Not at all.
No.
So, I mean, what's the solution? I don't know. I have no idea. I'm not qualified for that. I just mm-hmm. talk into a microphone. That's my qualifications. but I do think your story alone proves that there's a lot of faults and flaws in the VA system. Now, did you stick with the VA system, or have you had to seek assistance elsewhere?
So when we tried to contact everybody, our wife, you know, started doing research for us, and she was like, you know, you should go and, you know, just look for clinics outside, and, you know, we'll pay or whatever we have to do. And we have like VA and Medicare, and Medicare is pretty good with what they cover. And so we found a informed consent clinic. And she is a endo, and she like specifically is like, you know, like I do trans healthcare. And so we made an appointment, we got our labs, we got in, and she was like, you know, basically like, what level do you want to go to? Do you want to start slow? Do you want to go fast? And we're like, no, we're like all in, throw everything at us. So she gave us like every, you know, finasteride, progesterone, estrogen, and everything. And I mean, she's been great. We do our labs, and we just hit 4 months on HRT, and we've had amazing progress. And we have a therapist, but she doesn't specialize in trans. She specializes in abuse and like childhood abuse. So she's good in that respect, but we don't have anybody for, you know, trans specifically, which would be great. But the one thing that the VA we did get that's been really great is a speech therapist. Like we tried paying for speech therapy and or for voice feminization, and like we just you know, like so many trans people that I see on Twitter, like, you know, like voice training is hard. And so like we did two, but we paid for three. We didn't even go to the third one. We just like haven't been back to the system. And so when we got to the VA, well, Lizzie got to the VA, and she did two or three sessions, and they like doing the humming test, and like Lizzie like snapped, and all of a sudden she could hear kind of musically, and she could like match the notes perfectly. And I can't do the voice because I'm the more masculine one. I'm the masculine one. But like if our therapist would have asked about the whole DID and trans things, like every one of us is female. It's just who's more masculine. That's me. You know, our Lizzie was able to change the voice from like 165 hertz up to like 200 hertz. And our therapist was like, you just blew through like 8 months of, or 8 months of voice lessons and everything in like 2 weeks. so that has been really good. But I mean, everything else has been a bust through the VA for us.
Right. Okay. Yeah, you know, you're right. Voice lessons are hard. Voice lessons, I mean, I still, I try to talk higher, and you would think someone like me who talks a lot, at least an hour and a half a week, would be able to do it. And a lot of times I still find I drop down, you know, when I'm around certain people, I drop down lower. And I want to say something here that most people don't realize about being DID. DID can affect you in ways most people think it's only up in your head.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That's not the case. That's absolutely not the case. Each alter, other personality, however you wish to define it, and I know, as someone who is DID, I'm fine with all three of those terms. I know people who are not. Mm-hmm. I know people who absolutely despise the term alter.
Mm-hmm.
I know people who despise the word personalities. Whatever you want to call it, however you wish to define it, and that's the thing, is it's not up to anybody else. It's up to you.
Mm-hmm.
Each individual within you, they can be completely different. Not just voice, not just habit, not just thought. It has been proven that alters can have different food allergies, different medication allergies. Their muscles can move differently. I've seen a case where this one person had, I believe it was three different others, and in one of them they could power lift like you wouldn't believe. But if anybody else was in the driver's seat, they could barely lift a gallon of milk. And people don't realize how different each one of us is when compared. Like, there are things Rob could do. I have no idea. I don't even have. There's certain, like, skills he knew how to do. I ain't got a clue. People hand that stuff to me, you know, thinking I'm still like Rob, and I'm like, yeah, you just, that's a dry well. Yeah, you're not getting anything out of that. Forget it. Come back to the bar when you have something better than this weak ass shit. You know. So it's different. And I don't think a lot of people understand that. I will say this, that something you mentioned earlier, Faye, about what the gatekeeper had told you about, well, are you all trans? That is also a very real thing.
Mm-hmm.
I consider myself trans, but I also transition because it's who I really was. I'm more chick than I'm trans, if that makes sense. Some people, that's not going to, that they're going to be like, what the hell does that mean? But Rob is not trans in any way. But I am transitioning because I have the driver's seat. And Rob says, yeah, do it. Go for it. I don't care. That was a big concern. When I came out as DID, right before I transitioned, that was something before I started hormones AJ was concerned about. AJ said, well, what if you do hormones for, like, say, 10 years, and then all of a sudden Rob's back in the driver's seat? Well, number one, it don't work that way. Number two, I have the blessing. And I think you can relate to that, Faye, when you have that blessing of the others, that, hey, this is yours. Like, when I started changing my legal name and I got my court documents, it was, I have inherited this life. This is now mine. This was given to me, And now it's official, set in stone. That it's not Rob's life anymore. It's now Robin's life. And that's a big deal, especially when you're like, when you're one of the unicorns, because it's like, hey, the others like me. Cool. It's like having your own clique in a way. It really is. Except in my case, my clique is an asshole. But
that's exactly we were watching a couple DID videos last night and from the CTAC clinic, and my wife was like, even in your head you guys don't like each other, like even in your head you guys are mean to each other. We're like, yeah. And you know, we had the exact same thing, because when we were a teenager, we wanted a belly piercing, like we heard that a guy had a belly piercing, we were like, whoa, you could do that, like that sounds cool. And then somebody was me like, that's gay. And we're like, oh shit, I guess that's gay, I guess we can't do that. Yeah. And then we came out trans and we're like, okay, well, I think I want to do that. And our wife was like, you know, are you sure, like, you know, what if you get, first off, what if you get the, because we've had switches caused by like getting piercings or getting tattoos. So she's like, you know, what if you switch during this? And what if, you know, your masculine side comes back and that's me? And I mean, you know, talking about like everyone agreeing, you know, I went out. Sorry.
It's all right.
I left and we were totally, you know, everything is, has had been for 30 plus years. And I got sent back out because of all of the, specifically because of what's happening to you down there in Texas. And we live in a very conservative state. So it's very scary for us. And I'm the aggressive one. I'm the psychopath. I'm the fighter. I'm the one that punches people. And, like, I don't want to be out right now. This wasn't supposed to be my time. This was supposed to be Lizzie's time. But, you know, I show up and I've got tits. And, you know, we've got our appointment kind of set for bottom surgery. And I'm like, oh yeah, let's do this, you know, because like, we've always hated our body. We've always hated our face. We've always hated like every single thing about us. But since we've come out trans, like all of a sudden these things that we used to hate about ourselves, you're like, oh wait, no, this is like, this is good. This is really us. Like, this is something like, you know, we can like embrace it. Like my hands, I was always like, oh, you know, I just have these little bitch hands. And, you know, like no matter how much I exercised, I was a mechanic, like no matter how much I did, like my hands, you know, like never got bigger. My forearms never got bigger. And when I came out, I was like, oh, thank God I've got small hands, you know, like, so your previous flaws when you have this, the mask of masculinity, you know, can suddenly become assets, which is kind of a cool thing about being trans. You know, some of the things that you hate, and, you know, you were talking about, you know, trans or different alters having different things. Like, I have a shoulder injury, and Lizzie was out and we got an MRI, and her MRI was clean. And we went to a new base and we did our like 82 push-ups, and all of a sudden, you know, we had a history of a rotator cuff tear, and all of a sudden our rotator cuff was like, no, you're not doing another push-up. And so we went to the medical and they did an MRI, and our surgeon was mad. She was like, what are you doing? Like, your shoulder's destroyed. Like, what are you doing? Like, you know, I should get you for destruction of government property because you're being negligent. We're like, no, like we just had an MRI and it was good. And well, she's like, your shoulder's done. Like, you're done with the military. But I mean, when we switched, the rotator cuff problem goes away. And that's how I knew I was coming out, was we were trying on clothes and all of a sudden the rotator cuff injury happens. Yep. And you know, the core, the presentation, our physical presentation has dyscalculia. We can't do math. Like, we gave up at multiplication. We're like, no, we just can't do this. We have like aphantasia. So, you know, being a creative person, not having a mental picture in your head, really like flashcards. I can't hold the image of the flashcards. So like, I gave up on math, and that's one of the reasons we almost got kicked out of high school. But one of us is so good at math, they went from multiplication to algebra 1 or algebra 2 in like 2 months. And we switched again after that, and it's like I'm looking at, you know, ancient Greek at this point. Like, I have no idea what's going on.
Right. I mean, that's a big thing, is, you know, we have those things, and it can be unsettling. I know when I first got the driver's seat, I'm gonna say this, when it came to doing things like retail work, inventory control, all that, there's a lot to more to retail than just running cash register. Rob, I you know what, I don't praise him very often, but I will say this, when it comes to that shit, he's a fucking genius. Because he can remember inventory control, he knows where things are, which is bizarre, because he could never find shit in his own house. But he knew where everything was. Here's where it is. He knew how the boss could come in and go, hey, I can't find, and before the boss ever got the sentence finished, Rob would be like, over there, fourth shelf, 3 items down, there it is, shut up, get your glasses. And when I got the driver's seat, I had to rely on him. You know, you still hear them. They talk to you. They will share their knowledge if they feel like it. Sometimes they don't. Sometimes, I mean, there was a lot of times I'd be sitting there doing something and I have no idea what I'm doing. I'm just following what Rob's telling me. And then all of a sudden he'd shut up. And I would stare at a computer screen going, I was doing what now? How do I do this? Hello? Is this a microphone or is this an audience or an oil painting? Hello? Come on. You know, and you wait. And so I don't have that skills. I didn't have the skills like he did for that. And I relied on him up until we left retail a few years, a little over a year ago. So yeah, I relied on him. And that was exactly what it was, you know, here comes the boss. He's going to ask for this. Okay, where is this? Oh, it's over there. Okay, good. So it kind of helped give an illusion. But that was one of those things where it's also because we're trans too, and we didn't really want people to realize that the dude they're talking to isn't a dude. It just looks like a dude on the outside, you know, it's, you know, and so that was very hard pretending. And I know, I've even told my therapist, because I'm going to say this, there are medications and things that can silence, and help with, overactive others. And I've seen some people who've had this, and I mean, it's, you know, they're switching mid conversation through 4 different others. Because everybody wants to say, something, and they all know they can grab the microphone. It's not always the best thing. So, you know, you kind of learn to work together. And when you're hiding not just being trans or being LGBTQ, but you're also hiding that there's more going on in your head than the average person.
Mm-hmm.
It makes it very hard. And I think I used to hate it. I'm not going to lie. I used to hate it. When I first got out of my lockup, I spit venom at Rob, and Rob would spit it right back, and it made my brother, it made my spouse, it made a lot of people who got to witness it slightly uncomfortable. Because we would just switch right back and forth and be cursing at each other and throwing shit in each other's face. And you know, you're even harder on yourself. And you would think it's easy to work together, but it's not. It really isn't. And I think now... I'm not ashamed of it. I'm not. Mm-hmm. I do worry. I worry when I tell people. Of course, now that it's kind of out in the public with the podcast and everything, and has been for a while, I don't worry as much. I know I worried a long time because if I told somebody, there's that stigma. Oh, you're a crazy person. No, I'm not crazy. I'm just different than you. And I think it makes our struggles for anybody who's DID. I think it makes being DID and trans, I think it makes it just a little harder to navigate sometimes. It really does. And but at the end of the day, the point is being yourself. Being happy, and I can say this because I'm one of those unicorns. Sometimes it's being yourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And we all try to find peace, right? We all try.
Right.
Yeah. So I that's my take on it. I'm not ashamed or worried about being DID anymore. I mean, as AJ and a couple of other people put it to me, oh, people are going to think you're crazy for so many other things. It doesn't matter. Which is fine. That's fine.
Yeah.
You can think you're crazy for other shit. Just don't think I'm crazy for being DID. So, all right. Well, Faye, I want to thank you for being on the show this week. It was actually
giving me the opportunity to be here.
Oh, it was wonderful. Always good to meet a unicorn like myself. We're not so scary, are we?
No, I don't think so.
but we are extremely magical, that's for sure. So, Faye, if people would like to reach out to you on social media, in any way, I know I'm big on helping others. How can people do that?
So I have a Twitter and it changes back and forth, but right now it's Lady Faye Laments is the little @. And I just started a TikTok and I have a blog, and that's everything I have is linked to my Twitter. That's kind of the main place that I'm at. But yeah, I write a blog about being trans, about, you know, some of the military stuff, and I need to take more responsibility for it because that was more of Lizzie's thing, but it seems like I'm out, so I need to actually follow through with that.
Yeah, they sometimes we have to take over the masses sometimes, don't we?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I again thank you for sharing your story with our listeners. I want to thank everybody who is listening today. As always, you can interact with the show Twitter and Facebook at Transpose Pod. As we say all the time, if you interact with us with the at Transpose Pod on Twitter, you are interacting with AJ. I don't even have the login anymore. And show AJ some love. She's been a fantastic ally and a hell of a booker for us. You can also email the show transposepod@gmail.com. You can find me on social media ish. I'm on Twitter at Robin Allura. DMs are always open. If you want to talk about the show, talk about the show. If you need someone just to talk to, I'm a very chatty bitch. So I talk to everybody. And most importantly, and we say this every week, please, please, please help the show by going to patreon.com/transposepod and becoming a supporter of the Transpose Podcast. We got some pretty cool content up there. We're trying to put a lot more content up there, and we're working on it. But we love you all. And I want to say thank you to everybody, as we always do. It's kind of people think it's a joke, but it's not. Thanks to our peeps in Slovenia, and stay safe out there, okay? So until next week, thank you all, and we'll see you then.